Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, it is a Friday, which means we usually get into the hard economics. But because, of Black Friday, one of those big retail events of the year, we decided that we're going to explore, that because it's something that is affecting all of us, and a lot of people will be considering deals during this time. And to help us to unpack some of the things around Black Friday and whether or not people should be participating, we're joined by Avinesh Reddy, who is the Chief Technology Officer at Rentoza. Avinesh, greetings to you.
Greetings, Mudiwa. Happy Friday.
No. Thank you so much for joining us. I understand that we are contacting you, all the way from London. How is that part of the world at the moment?
London is grey and cold at the moment, and slightly quiet with lockdown. But, moving on, getting into the Christmas season. So we're hopeful that things will get back to normal quite soon.
Now, we certainly hope so, definitely, as well. So I think a good place for us to start the proper conversation then is Rentoza. What is it that you guys do, the ethos behind the business, and maybe a founding story?
Sure. So let me start with the founding story. Rentoza was created approximately 3 years ago. Four friends from Durban, myself, three other co-founders. We saw a need to create access and affordability within the South African landscape for consumer goods. We were all currently employed at the time, but we decided to, go the startup route and kick off this initiative. We built what we refer to as South Africa's first online rental demand platform. So very much a la Airbnb style. I need a phone or I need a fridge for a one month period. Let me go online and get that from Rentoza. That journey lasted for approximately 6 months. We were put into Startup Bootcamp Africa, which was an incubation program. And it was at that point through consumer testing that we pivoted. And we pivoted into what we refer to now as a subscription e-commerce platform. To make that very simple, Mudiwa, what we built was a technology-first platform where if you would like access to an iPhone 11, instead of paying 30,000 Rand upfront, you can come to us and, as an example, get that for 3,000 Rand per month. During that time, we give you access, affordability, and flexibility, meaning that you are able to downgrade that phone or upgrade that phone to the iPhone 12 at the end of the period. So really moving past a model of ownership and moving into the space of access. The biggest thing for us in terms of purpose is, and you'll hear this a lot as we talk, is to create access and affordability for all segments of consumers in South Africa. So we moved into the space of doing electronic devices and appliances, and that's what we've been scaling ever since. We've picked up thousands of customers over the last few months, specifically because of COVID. I think COVID has put a lot of people in a space where they are looking for work from home solutions. Laptops, were big demand over this period, and we were able to give laptops to consumers to work from home at 1/12 of the price that they were normally pay to purchase using our subscription model. And I think the big differentiator that I'd like to sing about is the fact that we are not a credit provider. So by providing a subscription model, we really are providing new age access to the country, and that is our purpose and why we exist.
I think something that's very interesting then, in relation to everything that you're saying is maybe understanding how you guys actually then make money from this model.
Yeah, sure. So built into our model is obviously a bit of margin because we take the risk and raise capital to purchase those devices. So we add a margin above retail, but we break that down over 12 equal payments. Over and above that, okay, we also include free delivery to a customer's doorstep. And we have insurance embedded. So we have a partnership with All Mutual Insure, where every single device is covered by the insurer for damage, theft, or loss. Now, within that whole ecosystem, there's obviously margin for us. And I think the way to put it practically is if you have a phone that could be paid off in equal installments over a year, in 10 months, we would charge you 2 months extra. And that is the cost of the access and the convenience that we are bringing into the consumer world. So it's not, you know, massive margin. It's certainly not interest that's charged. But there absolutely is a need for us to make money. And in doing that, as we are expanding our numbers, we are starting to bring down the price even further. Because I think, as everyone knows, when it comes to technology, as you scale, you know, the way to really capture the market is to pass that value on to the consumer. I mean, if we fast forward 1 year from now on your question, where do we really start to make money? We start to make money and profit through customer lifetime value. So the beauty of a subscription model is once you're done with the iPhone 11, you come back to us for the iPhone 12. So for us, it's not about making margin on a sale, but rather about, you know, lifetime value on your subscription as a consumer.
I guess this would be a good point for us then to get into what is thought to be one of the biggest retail occasions in the world, and that is, Black Friday. Do you have any history for us around this? Because I think people are very fascinated. They look at the deals, but we wonder, is it really that deep?
Yeah. So, look, being in London, I can tell you that on Black Friday specifically, if you walk outside a person onto the street, you will see hundreds of Amazon boxes sitting outside someone's door. It is literally the biggest sales day in the year. If we look at the history, Black Friday dates back to the US. You know, it was always a sale day straight after Thanksgiving, where consumers started to actually, you know, purchase items and for the holiday season and start to, you know, almost build up all of their gifts for Christmas, as an example. That trend, you know, while the historical roots are in the US, it's expanded aggressively globally. And in my view, there's absolute value in Black Friday. Because what happens is a lot of retailers that have built up inventory over the year, the traditional retailers, look to move those items quite quickly in high volumes. So they slash their prices, certainly in the UK, between 60 to 80%. So they, you know, for those that are looking to save, looking to get stuff for their family, I think there absolutely is value. Is that the same in South Africa? I don't think that is the case just yet. I think Black Friday at the moment, you know, is still in its infancy within our country. Retailers are definitely bringing discounts, but they're not deep discounts like we see in the US or the UK. With Rentosa, however, our slogan at this period is every day is Black Friday. It sounds cliche, but you know, the truth is, if you all you have to do is pay 10% of the value of an item in order to gain access to that, that's giving you the same effect as having a 90% discount, which is stuff that we see, right? It's like, I know personally, I'm going to do all of my Christmas shopping on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, just because those discounts are that big and the savings are there.
So I guess with that in mind, as Rentosa, do you guys mark Black Friday as a day, or is it more that ethos that you've just said of every day is Black Friday?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we do both. Every day is Black Friday, you know, really is around the business model that we have. So because of the subscription model, our view is that with Rentosa, every day is Black Friday. That being said, we are running specials at the moment with sort of teaser discounts for consumers. So building up to Black Friday, you can get a Huawei P30 Lite with the free cover, as an example, for $599 per month. Okay, but as we build up, we are releasing more discounts on additional items. And then on Black Friday itself, that's where you'll see the real specials. So it's really about building up the consumer base and interest, having that activity, passing on value, you know, as much as we can. And then when we get to Black Friday, it's, you know, a lot of merchandising. So choosing the right items that are in high demand by consumers and putting our best foot forward in terms of discount. So you can expect from Rentosa on Black Friday, you know, 40 to 60% off what you would normally pay on our subscription for that month.
You know, against that backdrop, because I want to go back to something that you said earlier on, because, you know, you guys do have an interesting model, and I like the fact that, you know, you are saying that those deep discounts will be there. But when you talk about the deep discounts that you're seeing in the UK versus what we see in South Africa, for the South African market, then would it be fair to say that in this part of the world, Black Friday is used more as a marketing, you know, sort of marketing, as opposed to actually delivering that value to consumers?
Yeah, so I think it is, you know, definitely there's a PR angle and you know, like a promotional angle to it in South Africa. You know, if we had to talk economics, Mudawi, the reason that occurs is, you know, in spaces like e-commerce or retail, it's always volume-based. So a manufacturer, as an example, let's call it Samsung, will give retailers discounts, but only at specific volumes. So the reason you can see the deep discounts in the US or the UK is e-commerce has penetrated those markets at such a pervasive, with such a pervasive effect, right, that retailers themselves are able to unlock these discounts from suppliers. If we look at where South Africa is, there are only a few key retailers in our country, right? So it's very much a monopoly where all of these big volume discounts are held with specific suppliers instead of being available to the majority of the market. So, you know, I don't think it's all doom and gloom. I think Black Friday and Cyber Monday will become even better over time. But we need more players like Rentosa and, you know, e-commerce players entering the market, pushing up the volume and the distribution, which I think then will unlock discounts that can be handed over to the consumer.
You know, I'd love to play devil's advocate at this point, because you guys do run Rentosa. It's understandable that you'd be advocates of Black Friday, but, you know, just throwing a spanner in the works, are there dangers in participating in Black Friday, just so that we can have a balanced discussion?
Okay. So, you know, from a business perspective, for us, there absolutely are dangers, because we are a subscription model, okay? We also have to be extremely wary about the verification process, about mitigating risk around fraud, okay? And on those days, your volume of users is exponentially bigger. So as an example, at Rentosa, we get close to 10,000 users per day. Come Black Friday and Cyber Monday, we expect 100,000 users. What that means, you know, is from a security standpoint and a risk standpoint, we definitely need to be on top of our game. We need to prevent against carding attacks, fraudulent transactions, because as we let those devices out the door, we still need to recoup our subscription income. So that's very specific to Rentosa. On the consumer side, I think there absolutely is a danger, specifically because of what we've just discussed around South Africa versus the rest of the world. Funny enough, this season is, you know, this timing in South Africa is not where you get the deep discounts. Deep discounts and sales in South Africa actually happen straight after Christmas, going into January. The challenge there is, as we all know, after December, most of our country is running very low on cash. So, you know, to actually get access to those discounts is not completely viable for the majority of our consumers. Now, if you bring that all back, everyone buys into the hype, right? There's a big hype around Black Friday, but with those discounts not really being as good as the sales season, I think consumers do run the risk of overextending themselves during this period. And it is in that, you know, thought process that, again, we strongly believe at Rientosa that our existence and purpose is there to help South African consumers. So when we put out the Black Friday specials, you know, over and above the access that we've already created, we are going to give consumers a further discount on that monthly subscription. So to answer your question, is it dangerous? Yes, it is. Can it become something truly significant for the South African consumer? Yes, over time. I think that's a lesson as a country we've all learnt. It takes time for this progression to happen. So, you know, I urge the consumers and the businesses out there in South Africa to think carefully about the items that you merchandise and you put out to the market, and to make sure that we are handing over true value to the consumers as opposed to just piggybacking off a hype that exists.
You know, with that in mind then, because I like the fact that you've looked at it from both the, because I think most of the time when we talk about the dangers, we tend to focus on, you know, consumers, be careful, etc. But I like the fact that you've also touched on the business angle as well. So I guess, you know, for both sides, how can people be better informed? And I guess in the same token, is it really worth it for all retailers to really be participating if they aren't really going to be delivering value to consumers, you know, at that deep level?
I think so. I think that if you don't create this herding effect of swarming all retailers together, you'll never reach that critical mass or volume, to be fair. So while the discounts are not as strong as they should be, we all have to start somewhere and we need to move together. So I think, you know, the trick with South Africa is the large retailers are doing this. And in my opinion, a lot of it is based on hype. What we need to see is a combination of, you know, new entrants, smaller players and larger retailers doing this together. And, you know, in doing that, we will naturally get to the next state or the next plateau of where e-commerce needs to get to within the country from a usage and a utility perspective. On your first question, you know, what do consumers need to be aware of and watch out for? Know your stuff. So if you're after a specific item, check out all of the retailers. Everyone's got a website these days. Understand their price points. Understand the model that you buy. I think, you know, when we talk merchandising, here's another crucial point. A lot of big retailers will start to distribute much older products, like maybe a 2018 or 2019 large screen TV. And consumers will think, wow, that's a great price. But actually, it's an item that's, you know, at an end of life or older range. So be aware, check the competition, look what's out there. Don't just stick to the traditional retailer, look at the e-tailer guys like ourselves, because we have better pricing because of our model from an economic perspective. And that value is being passed on to you. Given where we are with COVID, e-tailing is going to become even more critical, right? You want to go to a retailer that can deliver your device to your door at no extra cost, as an example. So you may get a great deal on a fridge or a washing machine. Do you have to pay an increased delivery cost? That is where consumers get caught out quite often. At Rientosa, delivery is free nationwide. So over and above giving you preferential prices plus access, we are also delivering to your doorstep, within a specific period of time. So those are the high level, I guess, recommendations I would give to the consumers to look out for.
As we come to the end of the discussion, I think we have time for two key points. And the first one is just Rentosa, the actual business model that you guys are using. Now, what's been the reception like so far? Because you said you guys have on average about 10,000 visitors to your site per day, and then 100,000 during some of the peak times. But in terms of the actual business model, how do people feel about that subscription business model, and how's been the reception in terms of getting people to be interested? And do people tend to have, because with anything new, people have questions. So how have you guys actually gone about helping to, ease the minds of consumers?
My first answer would be by not sleeping. You would be surprised. I mean, it's crazy how many queries we get via Facebook, our info mailbox, which is info@Rentosa. I mean, it is, the interest is there. There's confusion, to be honest. People aren't used to a subscription model. And, the way we position it is just like you would pay a subscription for Netflix or Spotify. With us, you can have a subscription for your device or a subscription for your appliance. What's the initial reaction? Like I said, confusion. And I'll tell you where this emanates from. Our country has grown up with this premise that if you want an item, you need to be approved. That there's an application process, that you need to submit all of your financial documents and a follicle of hair for DNA. And, then they come to our platform and we'll be like, actually, we need your ID, we need your proof of address, and we need a payment card that is held on file securely where we debit it every month automatically. And that, it actually scares customers because they've not seen this model. Yet, guys, if we make this very practical, every time you click get a Uber, okay, on your phone, your card is saved. It's tokenized in that mobile application. So literally at the click of a button, Uber is able to take money for you off that card, and you are able to use the car with the driver as you, require. That is the premise and the, the technology that we've brought to the market. And from a sort of process perspective, we are really more hell-bent on ID verification and physical address, because in the case of you not being able to pay for an item, we will simply come and pick that item up. And this is, again, a big sort of part of why we exist. We're not there to just chase after financial commitment. We will, if you reach a point where after 3 months of using an iPhone 11, your affordability has changed and you actually need to get a sort of a downgrade in terms of handset, we will come out, pick up our existing phone, and even give you a subscription at a lower cost. Now, that approach is unheard of in South Africa. So there's a lot of education happening at the moment. But we truly believe that eventually people will subscribe to life. There is no reason, and just to make this practical, if I move into a new apartment, why should I have had to have saved 50,000 rand to buy my appliances, which may have taken me 2 years, when I can access those appliances for 4,000 rand per month on the day that I move in?
I think just as a quick follow-up to that one, for people that are really deep in the e-commerce world, someone might then ask, what is the difference between your model and Amazon Prime, for example?
Great question. So Amazon Prime is a combination of a e-commerce reseller, right, and wholesaler. So Amazon is quite interesting in that they create their own products, but they also move products as a marketplace, okay? So they have third-party suppliers sitting on their platform that sell to consumers. The difference with Rentosa is we are the merchant of record, which is the technical term, i.e. we own those devices. So every item that sits on our website is purchased and owned by Rentosa, okay? And then the difference in terms of payment, when if I wanted a sound bar, as an example, from Amazon Prime. I could go on there and I would have to pay what they call a once-off e-commerce payment, right? So I would pay 3,000 Rand once-off, and then I would gain access to that device. It would be delivered to me. With Rentosa, you would come to us, you would store your card and only pay 300 Rand, which would be your first month's payment. The device would immediately be dispatched to your door. And exactly 1 month from that date, you will pay another 300 Rand. And that will repeat for 12 periods, after which the term is complete, and you have the option to return the device. Okay. After 12 months, you can choose to return that device to us and get a newer item at a lower subscription. Or alternatively, if you're happy with the device and you're attached to it, keep it at no extra cost. So the entire transactional model, you know, is completely different, but so is the commercial side, to my first point, right? The difference here is we take the risk on these products. We own the products. We provide the warranty on those products. We are actually a service as opposed to a pure retailer, if that makes sense.
No, that certainly does make sense. And then the last point for our discussion is just there's a theme that I've sort of caught from you talking over the last half hour, and you mentioned it when we were comparing and contrasting the UK versus South Africa, and how e-commerce has been way more pervasive in those parts of the world. I think we actually had a guest on this show recently who was saying, actually from the UK as well, who was saying that e-commerce is slated to be at around 40% of total retail by the end of 2020 in the UK, versus in South Africa where it's expected to reach between 4% and 5%. So from your point of view, what type of things do you think need to be in place to have that deeper adoption of e-commerce? I think COVID-19 has definitely pushed a lot of people towards e-commerce, but it's certainly not on those levels that you're seeing it in the developed world.
There are two main drivers, and this is from my own personal experience working in the industry. Last mile logistics has to evolve in South Africa. Logistics and transportation of goods is far too constrained, and it is limited to large players. We need more entrants in the small and medium business segment, providing logistics and last mile services to all retailers and consumers. The second one is financial services. Okay, now I have my roots in South African banking. I worked for FNB, RMB for many, many years. And while we have a very mature financial services setup, many of our consumers have only in recent years, you know, got bank cards as an example. Now, here's an interesting thing for you. If you have a Capitec card as an example, 90% of those cards are not enabled for online transactions. So we spend hours per day with customers that are trying to pay for an item on our website, but literally their bank card is not enabled for online or e-commerce transactions. So if you just think from an ecosystem, you know, I can talk on this topic for days, but if I had to highlight two key components in the value chain that require a lot of focus to get us to that 40% mark of e-commerce, I would say it's last mile logistics and it's financial services / digital payments. Okay. The more, you know, innovation we see in the digital payment space, the better our e-commerce take up and usage will be.
So that's been us with Avinash Reddy, who is the Chief Technology Officer at Rentosa. They are a subscription-based e-commerce platform, and he's just ending off talking about the fact that to increase the levels of e-commerce in South Africa, last mile logistics is the first thing that really does need to be addressed. Just having more players coming in, especially on the small to medium side, and also the second one, just in enabling more digital payments, because a lot of cards that people hold are not enabled to be able to make payments online. Our discussion mainly focused around the Black Friday, just around, you know, its history, its background, maybe contrasting its pervasiveness in the developed world versus in South Africa, why that is, and even some of the dangers. And also, Avinesh also gave us some insight into how people have actually received their subscription-based business model, also contrasting it versus some of the global well-known ones like Amazon Prime, and him just giving us the actual differences. And he's saying one of the big ones is the fact that they are the ones that are actually taking the risk on that end. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Avinesh, thank you so much to you.
Thank you very much, guys. Happy Friday. We'll see you on Black Friday. Please visit Rentoza, www.rentoza.co.za. Thank you, guys.
This is Mudiwa's Tech.
Fascinating discussion with Avinesh just around Black Friday and their business model. And there's two key things that, you know, stand out. And the first one is just, you know, how much there needs to go, as much as we are seeing a lot of advertising material in South Africa about Black Friday. It's just interesting to hear someone who's sitting in another part of the world like the UK talking about the fact that the discounts we're seeing, the prices that we're seeing around Black Friday in South Africa are not as deep as they are in the developed world, that it's still more of the marketing and PR thing in South Africa, as opposed to people actually trying to move stock so that they can make room for the festive season stock, as you're seeing in other parts of the world. And the other one to also consider is what's happened with like Singles Day in China. I think some of the numbers that I heard, I think they made $50 billion, you know, on that day for this year, if I remember correctly. I need to go and check that number. And it actually just shows just how big some of these things could be. And if there is an increased pervasiveness in things like e-commerce, I think that could help to take holidays like this to that next level where retailers and consumers actually benefit. But at the same time, the second part is just making sure that consumers make sure that if you're going to participate in these deals, that they are actually deals. You know, inform yourself, like what Avinesh was saying, because sometimes it might just be an old product that they're reducing the price on. And actually, if you had checked the competition, you'd see that it's actually not a discount. It's just the normal price. That's the first thing. And the second part is, if you're taking part, also make sure that you're making a purchase that you intended to make. You're not making a purchase for the sake of making a purchase just because you saw something being discounted, quote unquote, because that's how things like impulsive buying end up being a thing, and how you might end up, by the time you get to the festive season, you now would have spent way more money than you thought you did. And then there's festive season spending that happens, and then when we get to January, we have the dreaded January disease. So if we can plan even from this point of view, from November, then, you know, you just make sure that by the time you get to January, you're in a better financial position. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Mashamayati. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning. Oh,